You're listening to The Record on KUOW. I'm David Hyde.
And I'm Marcy Silman. Here is a nerdy riddle for you. Corporations want it, the government's tracking it, and many people don't know how to use it. So what is it? Well, we're talking about big data. It's a phrase you may have heard in the news lately.
And arguably the foremost expert on sifting through piles of information is stat wizard Nate Silver. In the 2008 presidential election, he correctly predicted the outcome in 49 of 50 states. He's editor-in-chief of ESPN's 538 blog. And earlier today, he told our colleague Ross Reynolds about one example of big data gone wrong.
One example that's been in the news a bit recently is Google for a couple of years, and I have all the respect in the world for Google, but they had a formula which they said predicted in real time how much flu there was in the United States. And it was based on search terms that were correlated with CDC reports of flu. And the reason why this was useful is because the CDC takes a couple of weeks to collect that data. By the time they have accurate numbers, well, it might be too late. You might have a flu outbreak in a certain county or state. The problem is that you can look at how people search for internet search terms in the past, but number one, that always changes. And then number two, people respond to media panics over the flu more than the actual symptoms themselves sometimes. So you kind of have this feedback loop where there's concern about the flu, people are searching for it more. Maybe one news account even says, boy, you know, look at how this is trending on Google. That compels even more searches. So that was a case where very humane application, but where the statistical part of it wasn't as robust as it might have been.
You know, all states, including Washington, are trying to adapt to the new health insurance that's gone on. A lot of people have signed up for Obamacare. How are some ways that crunching big data appropriately could improve the healthcare system?
You know, I know people in medicine have a reputation for sometimes staying within their own circles and you know, maybe not learning as much from methods in other fields. But, you know, one thing that's a little disturbing is if you look at medical studies that are published and they'll say, well, we found this new treatment for diabetes and it had statistically significant results on this group of patients. When people try and replicate those studies and say, well, let's make sure this actually works, it's a big part of science is prediction and replication, they fail to replicate the experiments about two-thirds of the time across a number of studies. So a number of results that you see published in the best medical journals in the world are really full of kind of coincidences, believe it or not. And that's the problem, again, when you have more and more laboratories, more and more things to analyze, you're going to find some 1 in 1,000 chances when you have millions of experiments to draw from.
Is there enough fact-checking going on the use of big data? Are there enough people out there who are specifically taking critical evaluations of how it's being applied and what's being claimed on its behalf?
I mean, you know, there's a peer review process. Part of what we're trying to do at 538 now is run a newsroom where we're doing a lot of the data crunching, number crunching ourselves. And it is challenging because there are a lot of things you can do that lead you astray. You know, traditionally there hasn't been a lot of overlap between quantitative analysis and journalism. We're trying to change that. You know, it's also the case that sometimes when you put something in numbers, it has a weight of authority that sometimes it deserves and sometimes it doesn't. So these are all things we're asking ourselves in real time. I think, you know, the upside is that things done in numbers can be a common language that in theory has more transparency, right? Where you can say, this is exactly how we're doing this. You don't have to worry about all these anonymous sources we talk to. This is how we did it, and the value we're adding is by collecting a bunch of data and then thinking clearly about it and maybe presenting it in a way that is approachable. So it has upside in that sense, but it's certainly challenging sometimes on a day-to-day basis.
I'm talking to superstar statistician Nate Silver. His book, The Signal and the Noise, has helped us a lot to try to sort out the difference between the two of them. You're certainly familiar with Mark Twain's famous quote that there are lies, damn lies,
yeah,
and statistics. We've been talking about sometimes where they just get it wrong with a good intention. But as you look around, do you see statistics often used to lie or mislead?
Oh, certainly in politics, you know, certainly when you see the corporate report of a corporation that's struggling and they have to find some way to make it seem like they're doing really well to their shareholders. Yeah, I mean, people, when you have more data, you have more data you can cherry pick. You see it in election campaigns where, you know, Republican backers were convinced in 2012 that Romney would would win the election. And they take out of the hundreds of polls that were conducted every week, they make a case out of 10 of them, you know, and say, well, here's one poll where we're ahead at one point in Ohio and another one in Wisconsin where we're ahead, and ignore the consensus of the evidence. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's not as though all these mistakes are caused by good faith.
Help us as non-statisticians, because we're presented with a lot of this information and we don't all have the tools to analyze it like you might analyze it. Are there some simple questions that we should ask when we're presented with statistical evidence to help us sort through it?
So to some extent, if you're like reading a finding in the science section of a newspaper or magazine, to some extent, the more amazing the claim, the more skeptical you should be.
If it sounds too good to be true, it might be.
It usually is. And that's, you know, I call this problem the feature or bug problem, which is that, look, we have a lot of smart people in the world and markets are competitive. You know, in academia, there is consensus around science. So when you say, boy, we have this formula that predicts something that's different from everyone else or is new and novel, I mean, every now and then that's true, but you should be skeptical when it goes against the weight of the consensus evidence or the weight of a market or what have you.
What sector of business or industry do you think will next be revolutionized or improved by the use of big data sets?
You know, sometimes it's the things that aren't as sexy, but retail is an industry where you now have a lot of data on consumer behavior. I mean, certainly some of the companies out here like Amazon are making good use of big data to understand their customers, you know, big retail and apparel stores as well. So the thing there is that, you know, you have data that's pretty structured. You have transactions that are occurring either in a physical or a virtual space. You know more and more who you're transacting with. You know, a lot of these customer loyalty programs that, for example, the airlines use, right? Well, it seems like that's just a ploy to get you to use their airline, but it's also they now know a lot about the travel patterns of different segments of the market. So whenever you're typing in your frequent flyer number, maybe you get a few miles out of it, but you're doing them a big favor too.
Nate Silver, editor-in-chief of ESPN's 538 blog. His most recent book is The Signal and the Noise, Why So Many Predictions Fail, But Some Don't. He spoke with our colleague Ross Reynolds. Nate Silver is also giving a talk tonight at Meany Hall on the University of Washington campus that starts at 7 p.m. The event's sold out, but we're told there might be some standing room if you get there early. You're listening to The Record on KUOW.